Oh, thank you. Are we the only ones?
Yeah, I think Ron Gibson's not.
Hi, Alan. Alan. Hi, Alan. Yeah, I found Tyler. Tyler found me. So we're okay. All right. See you later. Thank you. Bye bye. Okay. You leave your phone home, of course. Luckily, the watch works. So everybody's long distance except us, huh?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Yes, Marilyn?
Okay, now I can hear you.
Okay. Hey, Tyler found me. We're okay. We're right here.
Okay.
Yep, I got in. So thank you. All right. See you later. Bye bye. Okay.
Let's see if we can
get everybody in. Oh, there's two of them. Hi, guys.
Roger, John.
Hello. Yeah, you guys should be out there on the driving range, right?
Too cold for me. We need those simulators.
Yeah, that's for sure. So everybody been hiding out because of COVID or just ignoring it?
We took a cruise for 3 weeks to get out of it, and it worked.
Where'd you go?
Caribbean, just, you know. And let me tell you, the ship does a superb job.
Yeah. So, whereabouts in the Caribbean?
Eastern, let's see, northern and southern. So all of the islands down to the ABC and up to St. Thomas and over, yeah, I think a lot. I was going to say, I'm going to go through a list, but you know, a variety of them. We got stopped, we had to change one of them, Grenada instead of one of the others. St. Thomas didn't want us. So we had a few of those. We got tested on the ship. Everybody is tested on the ship weekly.
Wow.
Which cruise line did you go on?
Holland America.
Oh. I'm glad you didn't get stuck out at sea. You know, if there's a COVID outbreak, they won't let you go into any ports.
Yeah, we made all of the ports but one. And that was St. Thomas. And they didn't want us, but everybody else did. So we wore masks on shore as well as in the on the ship and the whole bit. So It worked.
Yeah, it's nice. We leave tomorrow for the Windward Islands, which are down there, you know, Barbados and so forth, you know, just off of the coast of Venezuela there, really. So, yeah, we're waiting for our COVID test so that we can get on the boat. Well, actually, you have to have one 72 hours before. Then they do one as you get on the boat, and then they'll do one when you get off the boat.
Well, and we had one in between.
Oh, okay.
We were on for 3 weeks, and so we had a test in the middle as well as tests from the front and the back. And they test all of their crew weekly and or daily based upon whether they're sick or not, you know, if they are showing any symptoms. All of their crew had their vaccines, plus they were in the process of just finishing their boosters. And we probably had maybe 40% of their capability for passengers. So we had loads of room. And so that worked too. And they changed air ventilation. They did everything they possibly could. I think we had, out of 1,000 people, we probably had 5, you know, breakthroughs. Between the crew and the passengers, and that was it. So anyway, I'm back to work here, you know.
Yeah, let's build that clubhouse.
But I did miss you guys. I tried to zoom in, and the Wi-Fi wasn't strong enough to handle it. So
you didn't miss much.
Oh. Yeah, but you guys should have missed me.
I don't know if Court's in town. I know Ron is not, and I'm not sure about Mayor.
Okay.
Well, it's 5:00 now. Maybe we can give them another minute or two. I know Mayor Horrocks is always a little late. But.
Yeah. Don, which line are you going on?
Well, we're doing, the trip is with Smithsonian. And the cruise is Ponant, you know, it's a French, and it's only 120 people max on the ship. And so we have no idea how many are going to be there, but like you, it's probably going to be a lot less, you know. So we tend to always do the small ships, like we do a lot with Lindblad National Geographic, and those are any place from 50 to 120. So those are nice small ships that, you know, like when you go, we've gone twice to the Galapagos with them, and you know, you go in those little boats and the Zodiacs, and it's nice because, you know, you only got like 10 people per Zodiac and you have your own guide and so forth. So we've tended towards the smaller ones. I've actually never been on a big cruise ship. We used to see them all the time because we also did a lot of diving in the Caribbean. Uh-huh. And every time we would be on a dive boat, you know, you'd go by these big boats that were coming into port. But we've just never done a big boat for some reason.
what are your ports of call on your trip, John?
Well, they'll be all around the Windward Islands, which we fly into St. Lucia, and then you go up from there. We actually do go to Grenada, and then you go up and around and come down, and eventually we end up down in Barbados is where we fly out of. So it's a 10-day trip, and you know, you get options like of certain hiking or snorkeling or kayaking or that type of thing. So
nice.
They're fun kind of trips. And, you know, we expected to be a lot of snow and everything here this winter. So we were hoping to have a good break, but actually we haven't had any. So although skiing's not been bad up in Park City at all. I mean, you know, it's surprisingly good given that we haven't had much snow.
Yeah, there's just enough snow and man-made snow to make it decent. It's not bad at all. Yeah.
So, but, you know, skiing and golf, I was just talking earlier with some people. We both had the same problem. Too many players, you know. I mean, see Vail's getting lambasted for the lift lines and, you know, like at Park City, they don't have Silver Strike chairlift open. And the people that have condos there are going berserk because they have to take the bus over to the base. And, you know, I mean, even over Deer Valley where, normally they'd have maybe two people, you know, near a lift. Now they have a maximum of one.
Yeah.
And it's almost, you know, get on the lift yourself anymore, even the ones that don't slow down. So
yeah.
Anyway, I'm thinking, Tyler, I got to pick my son up at the airport about 6:15. So if we could get started, I mean, I guess we could approve the minutes from last meeting unless anybody has any additions or corrections.
Yeah, I would move that we approve the minutes as written, John. They looked good. So
I'll okay. I did read through them all. So.
Okay, good. Well, Karen, you got to second it, and we can all vote in favor. Aye. All right.
Aye.
So, all right, Tyler, the construction update.
Hey. So let's jump into that. Where do I even start? So the permits should be done tomorrow, if not by Friday. I'm still waiting on Alco Construction on their contract, which is for a little frustrating. I'm not sure what's taking them so long. It's been a week and a half. But as soon as I get that done and permits are done, they're going to start demo. I would imagine it's probably middle of next week.
Oh, good.
We've got the clubhouse pretty much kind of taken down. Little things we've got to pack up in the next week. So we'll get everything out of the way. I think we're going to get a trailer to operate. We're looking at maybe opening next Wednesday on the golf course. It's kind of our tentative plan. So clean off your clubs when you get back, John, you can come play.
Yeah. Yeah.
That sounds great.
I just wanted to, other than that, we're kind of moving forward. I met with them on the simulator with TrackMan on Tuesday. We're kind of set there. They know their objectives and what they need to prep and demo and get ready. We've met with, they're meeting with all the other contractors now, getting their subs lined out. I'm a little bit concerned on lead times on stuff. They're not ordering anything until they have the contract time. And I don't have the contract to get them ordered. So it'll be interesting to see how the next 6 months go. They're still pretty confident they can finish by July 1st. So we'll see where that gets us to. I've been doing a lot of work on material selection. So I just wanted, let's see. This Corp's calling me. He's probably waiting now. Let's see if you can let him in. Oh, boy. Maybe it won't let me. Oh, I got to stop sharing my screen. I'm sorry. Court's not waiting.
Okay.
He probably needs the link. Let's see if we can. So anyways, that's kind of where we're at there.
Hi, Tyler.
Hi, Court.
I just realized that the launch for the
join
now.
Oh, okay. I'll look for you so we can add you in there.
Okay, sorry.
No worries.
Bye.
So that's so I've been working on material selection. Some of the colors and the flooring, after looking at them in person, I don't really care for some of them. So I've been going through some paint. These are the two that I've kind of narrowed it down to. And if you're by the clubhouse at all, I can show you, we painted the wall a little bit with some swatches there. Pale oak is a pretty good looking color with the trim color. That's kind of what I'm leaning towards. So that the one on the left, a little bit more of a neutral brown gray combination there. Aesthetic white looks good too. On our walls, it looks a little too gray.
Tyler, we're not seeing your picture.
Oh, I'm sorry. I stopped sharing. Didn't
we're
I?
Not seeing anything. We're not seeing anything except you.
There we go. All right.
Now we are.
So that pale oak on the left, that's what we're leaning towards. Now we've lost your screen here. Flooring. The one on the left, this is the flooring choice. I've changed that as well. So hopefully you guys are okay with that.
Is that the pale oak?
No, it's a Provenzo LVT laminate tile. So it'll be a floating pour in most places and then glued down in others. And then this is the carpet on the right that will be mostly in the stairs and the bride's and groom's room upstairs. So just wanted to give you an update there. That's kind of what we're leaning towards. Any questions on construction or moving forward, Court? You missed, we're probably hopefully starting demo next Wednesday, so a week from today.
There we go. Okay, can you hear me now?
Yep, I hear you.
Okay. Congratulations, that's awesome news. So I'm assuming all that flooring can withstand the cleats, hard and soft, and
yeah.
So
yep.
I figured you'd thought that through.
Yeah. Okay, then next agenda item I've got on there is talking about the car show. I have my opinion. And I hate, I don't know if I want to say if I hate that it's up here. I almost feel like it's a little bit of a nuisance for the golf course. And I think it's a nuisance for the employees too. So I just wanted to call out and show, I don't know if everybody's been to the car show, this kind of location, the red is where the cars have been parked. And then the yellow is food trucks, bounce houses, just kind of a conglomerate. There's not much room on the road. They're parking cars on the golf course. We're closing down. We're really only going 9 holes after 2 o'clock. So it's impacting a busy weekend for the golf course. My suggestion, and if you guys agree with me, great. If you have other opinions, that's fine too, would be to move the car show down to Legacy Park. There's just as much room as I'll show on another slide. I calculated square footage. I mean, you take up half of Legacy Park and you're getting the same square footage as you would at the golf course. And I think it flows better. I mean, they can park rows of cars on the park, on the grass. And then they have a lot more parking. I mean, there's the church there is 0.3 miles from the park, which gives them another 200 stalls for parking for people to walk over to the park. Here's just kind of some of my data that I've pulled together. I know I'm going to have some pushback. I know I'm going to have some questions on why. I think Legacy Park's more accessible for people. And we don't have to close the roads, kind of those bullet points. It's easier in and out from the freeway. Cars are more spread out during the actual car show cars. The city employees don't have to set up Friday, take down Friday night for golf play Saturday morning. They got all of their functions down to Legacy Park Friday and Saturday morning anyways. So we won't lose any revenue for the golf course on Friday. And like I mentioned, no takedown for Saturday morning. And it also gives us an extra day of watering. I mean, we've been shutting off water, I think, on Wednesday for Friday and Saturday. Now we can water another night to help the grass, especially in the middle of July, 1st of July, where we're getting some heat. So I think it'll help the golf course. Any thoughts or concerns or questions, recommendations there?
In looking at the two venues, Tyler, that's a good comparison there. And I would definitely say that the Legacy Park location is better. The configuration at Legacy Park actually makes it easier and more accessible as a walking car show. I think the Legacy Park location is really a lot easier for the exhibitors of the classic cars to get to too. I mentioned last time that a few of the older cars have always had trouble getting up the hill to Eaglewood Golf Course. And I think the advantages of Legacy Park are tremendous. I think overall there's as you mentioned, there's a lot more parking. And it, like I say, the configuration is much better as a walking golf show. And I would recommend as a plan B, if they don't want to go to Legacy Park, to park all of the cars on the road, park no cars on the golf course. That would be my plan B if they don't want to go down to Legacy Park. But I think Legacy Park is more accessible for everyone. It's a win-win for North Salt Lake, the golf course, and for the public attending the car show.
Yeah.
Do they have any other activities going on during that time frame that it would be a problem?
So Friday night they don't, but they're setting up for Saturday morning. They have their 5K, they have their booths for Saturday morning. So they have all the city events down there Saturday morning. And I've already made this point to them, but it doesn't make sense to me to set up an event Friday up at Eaglewood, move everything down to the Legacy Park Saturday morning, and then move it back up to the golf course Saturday night. It's just a lot of back and forth for city employees. And they seem to be
okay. just set everything up at Legacy Park all at once for Friday and Saturday. And you know, and it's there is a lot better area for the food trucks and things down at Legacy Park also.
Yeah.
The food trucks don't like to come all the way up the hill either.
No, they don't. So
there's a lot of blown water pumps.
Yeah. Would you have the fireworks still up at Eagle?
Yeah, the fireworks that will never change, even if I wanted to.
That one, I think you're stuck.
Yeah. I think the fireworks are better at Eaglewood, just because, you know, you're up high there. But mm-hmm. There's really no advantage that Eaglewood has for the car show over Legacy. I think Legacy Park has tremendous advantages over Eaglewood for the car show.
A few arguments I've had that I'll note is one that. Nobody knows about the golf course, so it's good that you don't have a car show at the golf course. My first rebuttal is to that they changed the car show name from the Eaglewood Festival of Speed, and it doesn't even include Eaglewood anymore. Yeah. And then the second note is that, well, the views up here are really pretty, but the views from the golf where the car show's at are looking down 18 fairway and houses. It's not like we have them up on a bench overlooking the valley. You're down low enough, you're not even looking over the valley. So,
no,
I don't think the view should play any role at all. The view for the car show is irrelevant completely, I think.
Yeah.
I think also the fact that, you know, the car show and the fireworks are one day after each other, that, you know, you're doing one down at the city center and the other one up here at Eaglewood. So I think that, you know, it spreads it out. So politically, I don't think there should be too much of a problem. You know, you've got
one thing. Yeah, that's better. That's better balance for everybody. The west side of North Salt Lake feels involved and the east side feels involved. I think that's a win-win.
Yeah,
I agree.
Tyler, What's the takeaway from the city, or I mean the city fathers? I mean, what is I don't see the mayor on?
No, he's not.
Okay. I mean, are you confronting issues and problems? I mean, it's a tradition, and I don't know how long it's been a tradition, but that doesn't mean you can't change it. Do people down there want it? I wonder. I mean, are they going to fight it because they don't want the riffraff in their neighborhood?
Well, yeah, to that point, there's no road closures down at Legacy Park. People can get into their houses up at Eaglewood, even down Foxborough. I've gotten more pushback than I thought I would for originally not being a city event. The city's kind of taking it over this year. They're still having input from Alan and those that organized it, but it's going to be a city event instead of the city helping run an event. So I still think
I would sell it as the city needs to show off Legacy Park more so than it does the golf course. Everybody's going to see the golf course for the fireworks. Again, the balance of having one major event, so to speak, down on the west side and one on the east side, I think is perfect balance. I think that's the optimum situation.
Yeah, I agree with you.
So from a committee standpoint, does the committee want to give support into having the car show down at Legacy? I mean, I think, you know, if we feel that way, I mean, obviously there's going to be people that hate to change, and it's been up here for quite a while.
Yeah.
Of course, my wife sold her classic car a year ago, so it doesn't matter anymore. But, you know, I mean, the other thing we always talked about, even before this committee, was that the golf course should be compensated for the loss of revenue. So I don't think anybody's really going to want to do that. So, I mean, it makes much more sense not to lose the revenue and to move it down to a location that's available and very centrally located. I mean, you know, it's just about at City Hall.
Yeah,
I would make a motion that we draft a resolution supporting the car show at, you know, let's stay away from any negatives such as, you know, let's not say we're moving it anywhere. Let's just say we support the car show being held at Legacy Park because it's a better venue and for many reasons for the car show, whereas the golf course has never been an ideal venue for the car show. I don't think it's especially anytime you're parking cars on the golf course. I mean, I didn't attend last year, but the year before, you know, a couple of the cars were leaked oil, as Weston will tell you, you know, and leaking oil kills grass pretty quick. It's a no win for the golf course. And I think having it at Legacy Park is just ideal.
I agree with you.
All right. I mean, I guess maybe Tyler could phrase that a little bit. I mean, I think maybe the committee recommendation from what's been said here is that the advantages of Legacy Park seem to much outweigh the disadvantages of not having it at Eaglewood, especially since the fireworks will be at Eaglewood the next day. So, you know, right. The committee recommends that, you know, it be held at Legacy.
Yeah, during the summer, you know, Legacy already hosts all of the food trucks every Monday. And so the food truck operators really like it down there. They already have their schematic, you know, all drawn out. And I know that they're comfortable down there. I think it's just it's more open space. And as I said, the configuration is better. You know?
Well, and don't you have play areas for the kids, too?
Yeah, I mean, there's the splash pad, there's pavilions. Yeah. It's just a better.
And we don't have to worry too much about them trying to swim in the ponds.
Yeah.
Hey, Tyler, question for you. So currently, so that is on the night before the fireworks. So you say in the afternoon you stop. You stop at 2 o'clock selling golf altogether, or you can only do 9 holes?
Yeah, so there's 18 holers stopped at 12, and then 9 holers stop, I think. Well, I let people play the front 9 all night.
But okay, so you basically lose, so you still, and then how about on the next morning of the fireworks? When do you close the golf course that entire day?
No, we were closed, I think, until 2. And that was pushing it. I was frustrated with that because people weren't supposed to be setting up their blankets and tents. And we spent all afternoon kicking people off while people were playing golf. So it's
I guess what I'm, from a financial standpoint, you're going to gain the ability to do 18 holes all day instead of the car show. And then the day of the fireworks, it doesn't change at all, or you'll be able to tee them off earlier in the morning because the car stuff is gone.
Yeah, Saturday won't be affected at all. And I talked to Ken about doing one of three things. Well, one of two things, really. One being that the city reimburses the golf course for lost revenue that afternoon, or we close the golf course all day and the city reimburses the golf course for the whole day. And we don't have to worry about people coming on and picking them off and blankets and. So I'm making the second proposal. Well, I'm making both on my budget for next year. So,
And you think that's going to fly? I appreciate your. I was going to say. They say it's a marketing cost.
That's a real killer, though. When it's on a Friday, when the fireworks fall on a Friday or Saturday, that's a real killer to lose the whole day of revenue. That's tough.
Yeah.
It's bad enough to lose just the range revenue. I mean, you know, what's that $4,000 or $5,000 minimum?
Yeah, I figure we probably lost about 10,000 last year on Friday, Saturday, both days.
Yeah.
I propose John just writes you a check for that lost revenue.
We thought you were going to write that check, Court.
That's why I made a resolution that John does before right. You guys came around.
We'll pass the hat and see what happens. Tyler, it cuts the loss in half is what you're sort of saying. And, maybe the police will have to spend a little time up there earlier in the afternoon, you know, making sure people don't set up on the course and so forth. And, it's sort of what's publicized. And, I mean, it seems to me, since you really can't get going with the fireworks until about 10 o'clock at night, that really, the golf course shouldn't have to close until 5 o'clock.
Yeah, I would agree. And that's a good point, John. I think if it's publicized and, gently enforced, that's the problem. If you let people start coming in real early one year, then the next year everybody's going to do it.
So. It gets earlier and earlier.
Yeah. Well, and they're probably used to coming pretty early. So, the first year or two are going to be a little difficult to keep people out. But once they get the message, it's going to be what it's going to be. You're not going to keep everybody out. And even when for the car show, I saw people setting up seats there 2 o'clock in the afternoon that day. So, it's one of those things people just want to do.
Yeah. Well, I have a meeting on, I think, middle of March on the car show. I'll probably send an email to those involved yesterday that I'd like to discuss the move to Legacy Park and get it in their minds before that meeting.
The arguments you made against it, I don't get it. So what resistance? The only resistance I can think is, well, we've traditionally done it here and moving, it's going to be difficult from a marketing standpoint. People get in the habit and they've been in the habit and it's gotten bigger every year and now you're changing it. And
I would argue that it shouldn't have been at the golf course in the first place. And even though it was, that there's no precedent there. It could easily move down to Legacy. And quite honestly, those type of events are exactly why they built that Legacy Park. That's exactly what it was built for. That's its bread and butter.
Another good argument too is, I don't actually have an actual count, but it seems to me that every year there's been more cars and getting the cars parked on the hill and all. You used to be one row along your cart path there. Last year it was about three rows off the cart path, including down on the street. So I think that the other argument is that, the number of cars has grown quite a bit and it's making it much more difficult to house them on a limited area.
Yeah, they do a similar car show down in Bountiful City, but they park all of the cars on Main Street, on asphalt and perpendicular so that they're easily accessible from both sidewalks on both sides of Main Street. And it's an easy configuration. You can walk up and down and see, 130 cars by only walking a block and a half or so. So it's, and Legacy Park is kind of a square configuration. It's perfect for that.
Roger, do they block Main Street when they do that? Or?
Yes, they do.
Okay, that makes sense.
And it's middle of the day, right, Roger?
What's that?
Do they do that in the middle of the day? I know they have a couple car shows.
It runs from 2 o'clock in the afternoon until about 7 p.m. in the evening.
Yeah, I made the other suggestion that we move the car show to Saturday morning and afternoon before the fireworks, and nobody liked that either, so...
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, Friday night works pretty good. I'd say this, Tyler, you know, bounce it off of who you have to, and, you know, the committee will give you support, and those of us that could talk to the mayor or whatever will do so, and, you know, see. I mean, it may come down to whether it's a political football or not, but I got a feeling that the organizers who I believe are up in this area probably like it up here because it's convenient to them. But, you know, from the standpoint of the number of people seeing it, I think Legacy Park definitely makes more sense.
Well, the city is going to take more of an organizational control of it this year, John. So I'm not sure that we have to worry about the guys who normally put it together.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I know they're still involved. They'll be part of that meeting. I saw their emails on the invite. So I'll ruffle some feathers, but I'm happy to do it.
We'll support you.
Anything else on there? Or I can go over a course update if anybody's interested.
Yeah, let's hear what's happening. We always want to know about that irrigation system.
Yeah, so that half of the irrigation controllers are installed. The rest of them should be delivered by the end of this month, and then we should have them all installed before water turns on. So we're good there. We're planning on opening Wednesday, like I mentioned. We'll have the driving range open. And at least the back nine. But the warm weather this weekend, I don't see why we won't get open. I know next week's supposed to be a little cooler, but we'll at least be able to get open. We'll have flags, tees, just like we're going. So we're planning on that. We've ordered a new range picker that was originally 6 months. It looks like it's more like 3 months. So we should have that by end of March.
Oh, congratulations.
Mm-hmm. So that'll be good. We won't have any issues with breakdowns like we did last year even. So this will be a good, it's a tractor unit, so it's a little bit slower, a little more durable than the Cushman we have.
The range picker you're replacing is only 1 year old, right?
Yeah, and it's been terrible.
Was it under warranty?
A lot of the work was, yeah, luckily. I mean,
I know it fell apart, but are they doing something for you on that?
No, I'm not even dealing with Rocky Mountain Turf on it. They basically told me your warranty's up and here's the cost. It'll be great for a utility vehicle for Weston, and we needed to replace two units over there. So really, instead of purchasing two new mules for irrigation side, we're really just swapping those out with this one. So in a sense, we're saving $15,000 by not purchasing a mule and just moving that over. So
it works out pretty well, huh?
It worked out, and they've got it over there now, and Weston's used it quite a bit and likes it, so.
Who was that other range picker purchased through?
Stotts Equipment.
Was it?
It's a John Deere tractor.
And they just didn't stand by it, did they?
Oh, the Cushman was Rocky Mountain Turf.
Oh.
Yeah, they were good. I mean, it wasn't a good vehicle for our range with the hills and up and down. It just got
Was that ordered by Brent?
Yeah. That was ordered a month before I got here or
Okay.
All right. Good riddance.
Other than that, we're good to go. We'll probably be in a trailer in March, a pretty small one. So we'll be limited on merchandise, which I'm a little bit worried on space-wise, but we'll be a lot of back and forth and trying to fill stuff in and go from there. But
all right. Well, I mean, it sounds like you know, if they meet their July 1st deadline, or even if they, you know, meet August 1st, I mean, still leaves a good part of the season open. And, you know, I mean, that'll be tremendous. Plus, I mean, when do you think you might be back in the building?
Middle of April.
End of April. Okay. That's even better.
Yeah.
That's very good. Yeah. That's quick.
And the only thing we're waiting on in the pro shop is a front desk. I mean, we can get by with everything else.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as Richens and I know the contractor is going to be on it, but as soon as we have a contract signed, I'm calling Dion Richens and saying, what do I need to do to put this on your number one list and get it going now? I understand he's got other projects and stuff, but even if we have to pay a little more to have him move up from the list to get a counter done, then I'm happy to do that. So we'll see what he says.
Yeah, good idea. Good idea. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, other than that, we're good to go, and hopefully see you guys playing golf during the next few weeks.
All right. Well, can't wait to get started. And unless anybody has anything else, we can call for adjournment.
Yeah, that's good. Remember, any revenue done in February is bonus money, so that's great. Yeah.
Any second, Karen, I don't know if you could hear. Karen, she called for adjournment there.
Okay, motion for adjournment. I second it. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. See everybody next month.
Take care, everybody.
We're on the range. All right. Bye-bye now.
Be safe. Okay. Or